Welcome to a series of kosher tidbits, which will examine various aspects of keeping a kosher home. These presentations are based on a series of seminars originally given in Congregation Ahavas Israel in Passaic, New Jersey, in early 2011, dedicated to the memory of Mrs. Kathy Cummins, Zichrona Livracha. The OU expresses its appreciation to the Marada Asra of this congregation, Harav Ron Yitzchak Eisenman, for allowing the seminars to be posted on the OU website. In this installment, we will discuss some of the products that require no kosher certification and the guidelines for preserving the kashrus of one's kitchen when the housekeeper is a nachris. Chazal tell us that a food which is unfit for human consumption is no longer viewed as food in the eyes of the halacha. As such, it loses its status as non-kosher. The standard is somewhat more rigorous when it comes to kashrus for Passover, but that is not our concern now. This principle has several practical ramifications for the kosher homemaker. For example, brand new pre-soaped sponges, oven cleanser, detergents, and soaps do not require kosher certification. That notwithstanding, some do have a custom to wash dishes exclusively with kosher-certified cleansers. Some poskim maintain that toothpaste and mouthwash are unfit for human consumption and hence do not need kosher certification. Other poskim have a different understanding of unfitness, and they forbid uncertified toothpaste and mouthwash. Each person should consult their own Orthodox rabbi. That roll of aluminum foil you see on the supermarket shelf may indeed have come in contact with a non-kosher substance during manufacture, but it is burned up before the roll of foil is packaged and shipped out. On the other hand, a disposable aluminum foil pan may indeed have non-kosher residue even after it leaves the factory. For this reason, Rabbi Yisrael Belsky holds that it is ideal to use only those disposable aluminum foil pans that are kosher certified. At the same time, if kosher certified pans are not readily available, Rav Belsky maintains that one is permitted to use non-certified pans and one is not even obligated to wash them before use. Parchment paper is often used when baking. Only the kosher certified varieties should be used, as parchment paper may be coated with animal derivatives. Many Jewish homes employ a nachris as a maid, even if only for a few hours a week. This arrangement raises a number of kashrus questions. The halacha is concerned that when she is left alone, she may render certain foods and utensils non-kosher or exchange kosher ones for non-kosher, or both. For example, if she is responsible for cooking, there is a concern that she may use her employer's utensils for her personal non-kosher food, or for mixing the employer's dairy and meat products. The employer needs to lay down very specific guidelines about the use of utensils. On top of that, the employer needs to generate mirtas. Mirtas refers to a fear of being discovered in the act of violating a kitchen rule. When ensuring the kashrus of the utensils with mirtas, the fear has to be genuine. For example, if the nachris knows that the lady of the house goes out to a class every Monday from 3 to 5, there is no mirtas for those 2 hours. Or, if the maid's employers always forgive her for kashrus violations, there will be no true mirtas. The nachris's fear of discovery has to be real at all times. If the nachris is left alone with meat, there is a fear that she will exchange it for non-kosher meat if that exchange would benefit her in some way. Steps must be taken to preserve the meat's kosher status. One way to do so is to seal the meat in a way that would be very difficult for her to reproduce. In such cases, the employer will know if she broke the seal. Of course, if the factory seal on the meat is very difficult to reproduce, the nachris's employer need do nothing to the unopened packages. When assessing whether the exchange would benefit her in some way, the employer needs to be brutally honest with himself and not seek out leniencies that are poorly predicated. Another way to preserve the kashrus of the meat is to instill mirtas in the nochris. Explain to her when she may or may not handle the meat in the house, if ever. Then ensure that there is a constant fear of the discovery of protocol violations. What we have said about meat also applies to fish whose scales have been removed. One of the halachos of kosher wine and grape juice is the capacity of a nochri to render them non-kosher merely by physical contact, as defined by the halachic system. However, there is a concept known as yayin mevushal. Mevushal means cooked. If wine and grape juice were cooked during the process of kosher manufacture, it is considered cooked mevushal. The required cooking temperature is the subject of debate among contemporary poskim. Once a kosher wine or grape juice was cooked during the process of manufacture, contact with a nochri or nochris cannot render them non-kosher. However, even when wines and grape juices are cooked, we need to prevent an exchange of kosher wine and grape juice for non-kosher versions. With respect to the concern for exchanges, the sealing and the mirtas we discussed earlier are applicable and helpful as well. It is important to realize that once the process of manufacture is finished, cooking the wine and the grape juice are of no help, halachically speaking. It's worth noting that a nochri delivery boy traveling alone with kosher food is no different than a nochris maid working alone in a house with kosher food. Caveat emptor, let the kosher food shopper beware. Another area of concern when employing a nochris housekeeper is the prohibition on bishul akum. There are certain foods that Chazal forbade if cooked or baked by a nochri without the involvement of someone who is not a nochri. Chazal, of course, elucidate very specific parameters with respect to the type of heating, the kind of food, and the nature of the involvement of the non-nochri. Chazal instituted these halachos to prevent nisuei ta'arovet. According to Ashkenazi practice, any food heated by a nochri is permissible as long as someone who is not a nochri ignited the flame. Therefore, it is imperative to tell the nochri's maid that she is not allowed to turn on the stove, oven, broiler, etc., etc. To be sure, there are foods which do not require this restriction. However, we do not want to rely on the maid to draw these fine halachic distinctions. It is far smarter to set up a rule that covers all situations. When you want to eat something heated up by the nochris maid, make sure that it was you or your family that turned on the heat. In our next installment, we will, God willing, discuss tevilas kelim, ritual immersion of utensils, and we will conclude with some miscellaneous aspects of keeping a kosher home.